Well, good morning and greetings in our Savior's name. Pastor Nate was just pointing out to me just a moment ago, if you could look up and see the cloud formation, you will see a cloud that looks in the shape of a dove. So we'll praise God and just look upon that as being God's blessing upon our service this hour. You have to sort of be this way to look up that way, but you can see it nonetheless. Indeed, it is a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, in our study of the book of Revelation, we've observed that there are going to be a series of three mammoth judgments that are going to take place on this earth. A number of weeks ago, I suggested that if we use the word carta, C-A-R-T-A, and add 1,000 to the end of it, this would give us a very good idea as to the sequence of events. C-A, that stands for the church age. We are in the church age at the moment. It started at the day of Pentecost and going to go through until the rapture of the church. So we look at this word, C-A-R, at the end of the church age, whenever that is, perhaps in the very near future, there will be the rapture. The rapture is a word that is used to describe an action that only God could implement, and that is the action whereby every true believer in Jesus Christ is going to be taken from this earth and taken to be with Jesus in heaven in glory forever. C-A-R. Following the rapture comes the T letter, which is the tribulation. And the tribulation is going to last somewhere around 7 years. At the end of the tribulation period comes the Battle of Armageddon. And after the Battle of Armageddon, which will involve armies from all over the world, comes the 1,000-year reign of Jesus here on earth. Now, during that tribulation period, remember, believers are gone to heaven. Unbelievers, whoever they are left behind. And during that tribulation period, there will be a series of three monumental judgments that are going to take place on this earth. There will be the seal judgments, there will be the trumpet judgments, and then the bowl judgments. So the church of Jesus is in glory with him. Anybody who does not look to Jesus as Savior and Lord will be left behind here on this earth. And they are going to go through an experience never before received by earthlings during the tribulation period. Devastating judgments are going to come upon this earth. Now, when we've been reading the book of Revelation, the first three chapters of Revelation refer to the letters that John was asked to write to the churches. Let me speak a moment about the tribulation period. There are people, sincere Christians, who believe that the church of Jesus Christ is going to go through some, part, halfway through, or all of the tribulation. I do not ascribe to that. I believe that the words we find in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, I'm sorry, that's not it at all. It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Jesus says, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth." I believe that that hour of trial is indeed the tribulation, and I believe that as believers in Jesus Christ, we will escape that. Praise be to God. Anyone in their right mind would not want to go through the tribulation period. So when we look at the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, we look about the churches, the letters that John was to write to the churches, and then the rest of the chapters from 4 through to 16 is telling us about these various series of judgments that are going to take place. Now, at the end of chapter 16, Hal Lindsey, who's been a great writer on prophecy for many years, he wrote these words, "The final acts of a godless world coming to a roaring crescendo, millions of troops have been deployed along a very large battle line from Turkey to the Arabian Peninsula. They are attacking each other with insane frenzy. Cities are leveled. 100-pound hailstones pulverize the earth, and the planet itself reels under the force of the greatest earthquake in the history of mankind. Now, that's going to happen at the end of the tribulation period. And if you and I are looking at world history as it unfolds before us even today, we look at all that's going on within the Middle East. We cannot help but wonder at the nations that are deliberately lined up against the nation of Israel. It amazes me in one sense, it amazes me in another sense, it does not. What amazes me is that all of these nations lining up with their hatred of Israel are the very nations that are outlined in the Word of God. Now this morning we're going to embark upon the first part of chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. We're not going to deal with the entire chapter, just part of it. But if we have been looking at the entire chapter, here's a summary. The summary of the entire chapter of Revelation 19 is this: four hallelujahs, two suppers, two responses, and two rewards. Four hallelujahs, two suppers, two responses, and two rewards. Now let us refer to our scripture reading. It's found in Revelation chapter 19, reading from verses 1 to verse number 8. Let us hear the word of God. And as we do, count the number of times the word hallelujah is being used. The word of the Lord. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and the loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. To put all of this in perspective, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, the Lord tells John this, Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. So God gave John the ability to see what was going on at the time, and he says, What you have seen, what is now, what was present at that time, and also what will take place later. In Revelation chapters 1 to 3, John was instructed to write seven letters to seven representative churches in Asia Minor. Now, Asia Minor is today's modern-day Turkey. I find it intriguing that Turkey and the leader of Turkey is set against Israel and everything that Israel stands for, and he's most anxious and desirous to rid the world of the Jews and rid the world of the nation of Israel. And yet, these seven churches existed in Asia Minor, in modern-day Turkey. And Jesus instructed John to write the letters to those churches. And those churches represented church ages all the way down through from the day of Pentecost until where we are today. And then in chapter 4, the chapter 4 begins with the words, after this. Actually, they're the Greek words, meta tata. After John was told to write the seven letters, which he did, he then was taken up to glory, and he saw well into the future. That's what the Lord was saying. After you've done this, I'm going to take you. Come up here with me. And John went up to be with the Lord, not only to experience all the glories of heaven, but also to see well into the future. And now, in chapter 19, verse 1, we see another two words, after this. After what is the question? It's after the tribulation. The tribulation at the end of chapter 16 has been concluded. In chapter 17 and 18, we've received information about the worldwide religious system and the worldwide commercial system, both of which will be destroyed. But all judgments now at the end of chapter 16 have been executed. And the only one who can end the Great Tribulation is about to place his precious feet on the Mount of Olives in Israel, near Jerusalem, and about to establish his kingdom here on earth. Yes, you know and I know that his kingdom is already established in the hearts of believers of ages past and of ages future until such time as that rapture trumpet sounds. But his kingdom is then going to be established here on this earth. And praise to the living God, because every true believer in Jesus will be part of this kingdom and in some way will be reigning and ruling with him. You and I are part of this kingdom. Now that is providing, of course, that we are part of his kingdom. And the only way we can be part of his kingdom is to look to Jesus and receive him as our Savior and Lord, and place all of our trust in him as our Savior. When we look to Jesus for our salvation, when we accept heaven's free gift of salvation so that we have a place in heaven, then we belong to the kingdom of God, and we will be part of our Lord's kingdom here on earth. John records, after this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven, shouting. Imagine that. All of these people, whoever they were shouting, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. And I missed out the word hallelujah. They were saying the word hallelujah. Now in chapters 5 to 7 of Revelation, we saw the elders and the church, the people of the church, an uncounted number of angels, all and created intelligence, all worshiping God. Now a great number of the tribulation saints are also included. And there's a great joy in heaven as they are singing together, hallelujah, and praise be to God. In fact, if you've been counting, you'll notice that there are four hallelujahs in this passage of Scripture. Verses 1 to 6, there are four hallelujahs. Now, the word hallelujah in today's language means praise the Lord. And it's not the first time that we see the words praise the Lord or hallelujah in Scripture. Actually, this is the only time the word hallelujah appears in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, particularly in the last number of Psalms, we see the words there. In Psalm 150, for example, I'm going to share that with us. It says, praise the Lord. That's the way it begins. It ends with praise the Lord. And you and I can substitute the words praise the Lord with the word hallelujah. That's what it means. So, Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for the acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And as the psalm began with hallelujah, praise the Lord. It ends with hallelujah, praise the Lord. When we think about it, the use of the word hallelujah or praise the Lord is extremely appropriate at the end of the book of Psalms. But also, when we know what's going on this earth, now, at the end of the tribulation, then it is an absolutely appropriate time for the people in heaven, all those who are in glory, all the heavenly creatures, to indeed say, praise the Lord. Because the seven-year tribulation period of 21 or so judgments are now over. It means the tribulation is over. Jesus is coming to earth for the second time, and the church is about to be united with Christ in marriage. And this is what Paul was talking about when he spoke about it in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 23. Let us hear the word of God as Paul records it. I, Paul, consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. We are all experiencing in one way or other sufferings of some nature. They may be small, they may be big, they may be a bad doctor's report, it may be a financial situation. I don't know what it is, but there are sufferings that we go through. But it's not worth comparing with the glory in which we will be involved. Verse 19, the creation, all of creation, waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. This old earth is in the process of decay, but there's a time coming when that is going to be over. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. This is what we're looking forward to, the redemption of our bodies. Finally, being in the presence of Jesus himself. Paul says that the whole earth will be released from the bondage of sin. And between now and then, the earth groans. A great Bible teacher by the name of J. Vernon McGee, now in glory, experiencing all that glory has to offer, he writes this: when I was a young man and built my home in Southern California, I used to come bounding down the stairs. Now when I come down the stairs, I groan with every step. My wife says, you ought not to groan. I tell her that groaning is scriptural, and indeed it is. We groan, whether we like to admit it or not. The whole world is groaning, waiting for a release from the overwhelming bondage of sin when Jesus will be here to establish his kingdom on earth. We notice in verses 2 to 4 in our reading, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute, that is the world religious system, who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants, and again they showed it. Keep in mind who the they are. They showed it. Hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, amen and hallelujah. What are we told in these verses? We are told that the Lord has destroyed the apostate church, and therefore those who are in heaven looking down on what's going on earth, they are offering praise and glory and honor unto God the Father, because they know that what was true is happening and what has taken place. The host of heaven shouted, hallelujah, and they remind us that salvation and glory and power belong to our God, not to anyone else, not to an individual, not to governments. Hear these words again. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. True and just are his judgments. There'll be people of the world who are wondering why on earth this old earth is being judged the way it's being judged during the tribulation. Well, they need to know, and we need to remember that true and just are the Lord's judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute, the world religious system that is anything but giving honor, glory to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again they shouted, hallelujah. And notice that the 24 elders and the four living creatures, those would be special creation, fell down and worshiped God. And this time they shouted, amen and hallelujah. Amen means so be it, and hallelujah means praise the Lord. Now there are some who believe that these 24 elders are actually members of the Church of Jesus Christ serving on a rotational basis. Other Bible students believe that the 24 elders are 12 representing the people of the tribes of Israel and 12 representing the 12 apostles. Whatever it is, if it happens to be the elders and we are sharing in this in some way on a rotational basis, then this will be a praise God item that we will be so close, to the very throne of God. This is the last time that the words elders appear in Revelation. That's why some believe they actually represent the true church of Jesus. Yet this is the last time they appear, because while the word church means the called out ones, now they are part of the bride of Christ. So, if the 24 elders are actually representing the bride of Christ is the church, then that means that we will number among them, because we will be in heaven singing along with all the other saints who arrive there via the rapture. So we'll be singing what could be referred to as the greatest hallelujah chorus of all time. What a day of rejoicing that will be. It will be a hallelujah chorus like none other. It'll be sung in the physical presence of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Indeed, we can say, hallelujah. Indeed, we can say, praise to the Lord. In verse number 5, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. This voice came directly from the throne of heaven. It is a voice of authority. It is a voice that is to be listened to. Why from the throne? Because our precious Lord Jesus is preparing to take absolute control of this world. This takes us all the way back to the covenant, to the promise that God made to David, when God promised that he would raise one upon David's throne who would rule the world. That one upon David's throne is none other than your Savior and mine, none other than Jesus, the Christ of Calvary. Samuel records, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me, speaking to David. Your throne will be established forever. Jesus is the one who is sitting on that throne forever. He will rule his millennial kingdom on earth for 1,000 years, and we will be a part working with him. It seems, though, that just at this time, Jesus, the bridegroom, will be married to his bride. Who is the bride? The bride is the church of Jesus Christ. Every believer from the day of Pentecost until the rapture. That will include you. That would include me. Another time for us to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. This morning we observe the use of four hallelujahs. Now, next week we'll be carrying on our examination of chapter 19. Remember this, the rapture is for all believers and it's coming. The tribulation is for all unbelievers and it is coming. During the tribulation, judgments will be executed throughout the earth. Despite all that the tribulation will look like and all of the horrendous events that people on earth will experience, hear me on this, it will not be the end of the world. Why? Because Jesus is returning for the second time. This time he's also taking up residency here on this earth. And he's taking up residency to establish his kingdom. And praised be the living God, you and I will be part of it. Can anyone say, by voice or by horn, amen and hallelujah?